Good morning, everyone. I am so honored to be able to preach the Word, to bring the Word of God to you this morning. And actually, I'm very humbled to be doing that. I've learned quite a bit over these last 3 weeks. I've been in the school of Christ, and it's been awesome. Our Old Testament scripture reading is from Psalm 51, 9 through 17. Before we read, let's pray. Lord God, your word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light for our path. And we now have the privilege of opening the Holy Scriptures and reading from them. We ask, Lord, that you illuminate our hearts and our minds. Help us to see the Lord Jesus as we read these scriptures. We ask, Lord, that you teach us through your Spirit. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Psalm 51, 9 through 17. The word says, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." This is the word of the Lord. Our New Testament scripture reading is from Romans 1, 16 to 17. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them and keep your finger in that page, because we're going to go back to this one frequently. Actually, we're going to go phrase by phrase, and that's part of the sermon today. Romans 1, 16 to 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" This is the word of the Lord. I had numerous questions come to my mind as I was preparing for this sermon and this message. If I could preach on anything and I only had one time to do it, what would it be? After all, this is my first sermon, and this might be my last one after you hear me. What is most important for the Lord to proclaim? Lord, what do you want the body of Providence Church to know? Lord, why did I agree to do this? Over and over again, I found myself drawn back to the gospel. In fact, throughout my Christian life, the Lord has drawn me back to the gospel and of my great need of Jesus. In this message, we're going to cover three things. What exactly is the gospel? Understanding the gospel is critical for coming to faith in Christ. Number three, understanding the gospel is critical for living by faith in Christ. So what exactly is the gospel? The dictionary says that the gospel is something regarded as true and implicitly believed, as in gospel truth. We've heard that. It's the gospel truth. Another definition of gospel is the teachings of Christ found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The problem with those definitions is they're not very helpful. Gospel means good news. Good news about what? What? Good news about what? We're going to turn to the scripture passage in Romans, Romans 1:16 to 17. And I want you to hear what the Word has to say about the gospel. Romans 1:16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. First, the gospel is nothing to be ashamed of. For it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. That word power, it comes from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis is from where is the word that we get our English word, dynamite. So you could say that this gospel is the power of God. It's the dynamite of God. It's divine dynamite. Next phrase, for salvation. For salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is deliverance, a rescuing from our sins, rescuing from our past, present, and future sins. To everyone who believes, is the next phrase, this salvation is procured by faith. To the Jew first and also to the Greek is the next phrase. The offer of salvation is universal in scope. There were two classes of people in those days, Jews and non-Jews or Greeks. So this offer of salvation is universal. It's to all peoples. But it's also limited to those who believe, to those who have faith. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. The righteousness of God begins and ends in faith. God saves you by faith. You live by faith. You die by faith. You'll enter heaven by faith. So what we have seen in this passage here, just in this passage, is that the gospel is the power of God. It's divine dynamite. It's for salvation of people. It's appropriated by faith. And it involves the righteousness from God. The easiest way I know to understand the gospel is to ask you this question. Where do you get your righteousness from? Where do you get your righteousness from? Righteousness is a right standing with God. It's being put right with God. The scriptures teach that no one is righteous. No one seeks after God. No one does good, not even one. All of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. They're filthy rags in God's sight. So the point is, you and I, we cannot earn our righteousness. There's no way. It is not in us to do so. We need righteousness from an outside source. We can't muster it up in our own. The scriptures teach that righteousness is being put right with God, and it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God Himself. Righteousness is given to us when we trust in Jesus and His shed blood on the cross. We are justified. The scriptures teach that we're justified by faith. And this is really a cool word because it means declared not guilty by God the judge. But you know what else it means? Not only declared not guilty, but declared righteous. There's that word again, righteous. When Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins in our place. Theologians call this the great exchange. Our sins, your sins, my sins, were transferred to Jesus on the cross. His righteousness, then, is imputed to us when we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. Imputed means it's credited to us. It's credited to our account. Righteousness literally means we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ after we believe in him. That's where faith comes in. So our sins are swapped for his righteousness. That's a great exchange. Not only are our sins forgiven, not only is the slate wiped clean, but the slate is filled with his righteousness. I'm belaboring this point because I need you to know where righteousness comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ. The very heart of the gospel is this principle of believing, trusting, not doing. We cannot do good works for righteousness. The gospel is good news about how we are put right with God. It's good news because God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen. About 4 years ago, Barb and I moved to the mountains, and we were heavily involved in a church in a suburb of Atlanta. And one of the ministries that I was involved in was a basketball pickup ministry. And my duties were basically to open up the gym doors and close the gym doors on Saturday mornings. But I soon became involved in reading scripture to the guys and praying and preaching the gospel. It was very important to me. I realized very quickly that the guys were not all guys from the church. These were guys from the community, and they did not have a relationship with Christ. I felt compelled to share Jesus with them. I loved playing basketball. I loved the fellowship, being able to hang out with some guys, and sweat. I loved Jesus, and I wanted to share him with them. And the way it worked was I'd have them play about 3 or 4 games, full court basketball, real hard. I'd get them worn out. And I was in good shape for a 50-year-old guy. I'd get them worn out. And then I'd say, okay, guys, time for us to break. Time for us to pray. They couldn't wait to sit down on the bleachers. It was a good thing. And every week they expected it and knew that it was coming. And frequently I didn't have to announce that we were going to sit down and pray and read the scriptures. They said, okay, it's time. We're ready. After a while, what happened was, preaching the gospel week after week, I began to question, how can I keep this message fresh for these guys? I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again. And I asked the Lord, how can I keep it fresh? And the Lord reminded me of something. He said that I needed Jesus just as much as they needed him. I needed the gospel just as much as they did. And, I may have received Jesus in my life years and years ago, but I still needed him to live by faith. And they needed him to receive him by faith and begin this new life in him. If became much easier to preach the gospel when I started preaching it to myself. The weekly messages became fresh. They became full. They became real. They were grounded in my need for the Lord Jesus and in their need for the Lord Jesus as well. Understanding the gospel, you all, is critical to coming to faith in Christ. It's also critical to understand the gospel so that we can live by faith in Christ. Since this offer of righteousness from God is appropriated by faith, I want to talk just a few minutes about faith. Whether a believer or a non-believer in Christ, we all need faith. As I said, the non-believer needs faith to come to faith in Christ, to be put right with God. The believer needs faith to live out this life of faith. So what is faith? Faith in what? Faith for faith's sake? The best word I have found to describe faith is this: it's trusting. It's a confident trust and reliance on Jesus Christ and His shed blood for you. This is not just having a faith in anything. It's not having faith in faith itself. It's not saying, life will be good and I'll be blessed if I just have enough faith and don't doubt. Or even, I'll be healed if I don't doubt. The object of your faith is critical. It's the object of your faith that saves you. It's not your belief that saves you. It's Jesus that saves you. Charles Spurgeon, the great 19th century English preacher, put it this way. Listen. Listen and be blessed. These are such wise words. It's not thy hope in Christ that saves you. It's Christ. It's not thy joy in Christ that saves you. It's Christ. It's not thy faith in Christ that saves you, though that be the instrument. It's Christ's blood and merit. The gospel of God is very good news for us. It's the only way that God has ordained that we would be put right with Him, and that we would be saved. So I'm going to ask you all, have you trusted in the Lord Jesus in this way? Have you staked your life on Him? Do you trust that He will bring you safely home to be with Him? There is only one way to have a personal relationship with God, and it is through Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven and that His righteousness is given to us as a gift, that we're put right with God. One of my favorite verses is found in 1 Peter 3:18. It says very clearly what Christ has done. It says, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous, that is Christ, for the unrighteous, that is you and me, that He might bring you and me to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." He died for you and me, that we would be brought to God. That's what that verse says. For anyone who has not received Christ and who has not trusted in Him as Lord, I urge you to do so. Don't play religion. I urge you to place your trust in Jesus. I'm going to be available here with elders after church, and if anyone wants to pray to receive Christ and trust in Him, we would be happy to do that with you, pray with you. We'll be right up here front. For those of you who have trusted in Christ, are you still trusting Him? Am I still trusting him? Pastor Josh used to say that we need to keep hearing the gospel because we forget, and that is so true. We forget the gospel. Listen to verse 17 in our text. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, beginning and ending in faith. The righteous shall live by faith. That's you and me. We are to live by faith. I could preach another entire sermon on living by faith. But I would only scratch the surface. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some comments. And then after that, I'm going to end with a short story. Kind of like a personal story of living by faith. Something that happened very recently. After we become Christians and trust in Him alone for our salvation, we have this tendency to drift back into works and do religious things. We do that to try to earn God's approval and feel more spiritual. For example, we may think that if I read my Bible every day, if I pray every day, if I attend worship weekly, if I serve at the open door, God will bless me and I'll be more spiritual. This thinking may not occur on a conscious level, but at some degree it occurs on a subconscious level in all of us. Why? Because we're wired that way. I feel more spiritual after I read and pray, read and the Bible and pray. The truth is this, and I want you to listen to this. We can never do enough for God. We can never do enough for God. We must rely on what Jesus has done for us. A little over 3 weeks ago, I asked a session if I could preach on August 3rd. I had been receiving encouragement from others to consider preaching, and I had been thinking about becoming a lay pastor after I retired from work. Well, that's years away, so I thought, that's okay, I can kind of think about that. It's all right. When I checked my calendar and found that we did not have a preacher for August 3rd, and I had a week off prior to August 3rd, I thought, boy, that would give me plenty of time to prepare a sermon. Surely I could craft a message in a week, right? So I asked the session if I could preach, and they said yes. And I thought, okay, good. I'll be ready. Well, within the last 3 weeks, my mom and dad sold their condominium in Wisconsin. And they needed help to move. And they needed me. So there went my week of vacation, and there went my week of sermon prep time, and there went up my anxiety big time. At first I thought that the Lord was just humoring me, but He wasn't humoring me. He wasn't taking delight in this. He was teaching me something. I believe He was teaching me to live by faith in Christ. You see, I wanted to have time to prepare a polished message on the gospel because I wanted to look good. You know, I'm like you. I wanted to look good and I wanted to do good. However, He just wanted me to be faithful in preaching His message. I have no doubt that the Lord wanted me to be in Wisconsin to help my mom and dad move. I knew that. I had picked this week of vacation prior to this preaching. I had picked that back in November of last year. I didn't know why, I just picked it. But the Lord knew why. He knew that my mom and dad would need help to move them. So that was the first realization. Okay, I'm heeding His call. I'm going there to do this. But then the second realization came. You don't need to fret over this sermon, Bob. You're already doing what I want you to do. It's living by faith. He was teaching me firsthand the message of this sermon. Here's a major point that I want to make about living by faith in Christ. Just be faithful in what He is calling you to do. And do it out of love for Him and what He has done for you. Be faithful in what He is calling you to do. Do it out of love for Him and for what He has done for you. That's why we need the gospel. We need to remind ourselves what it cost Him and what He's done for us. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you hear what Paul is saying? He's preaching the gospel to himself in that verse. He's remembering that Christ loves him and that Christ gave Himself for him, which in turn motivates him to live for Christ, to give his life for Christ, for his Savior. That's living by faith. You all have been so attentive. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this gospel, your gospel. This is such very good news for us. When we reflect on it, we can hardly believe that you would send your Son Jesus to die for us and make us right with you. What a magnificent gift of grace. How can we not live by faith in you? Help us to remember, Lord, what you have done for us, and to live our lives as a thank offering unto you. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please stand for our hymn of dedication.